I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Rome, the eternal city, the throne of St. Peter, the big Rome. And in May 2023, I was lucky enough to spend 6 days in the majestic Italian capital. But with so much to do, you need a good tour guide to show you around. Well, luckily for me, a certain Roma legend had already written a city guide to help me on my way. A truly unique, one-of-a-kind book slash travel aid we have never seen the likes of before on this podcast. Of course, it wasn't easy to get my hands on such a book, but once I did, I was able to see Rome the way it should be, taking in the must-see sights, learning about the city's history, and enjoying some very tenuous and, at times, baffling football anecdotes. So, here's what happened when I went to Rome, armed only with Francesco Totti's city guide, on a very special Football Book Club on tour.
Hello.
Oh, hey guys. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm in Rome. Heard of it?
How's Rome?
It's very good. Very nice, very warm. For this.
Have you met any Italian footballers yet? Have you met Kevin Lasagna?
I haven't met Kevin Lasagna yet. But
have you eaten lasagna?
I have not eaten. I've never
have you met eaten Kevin
eaten.
Lasagna?
I've only been here a day.
I thought you were vegan.
I am. Hey, look.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten Kevin Lasagna. I am vegan.
When
I'm
wrong.
Those things up. but yes, I've been very busy. I've been extremely, extremely busy, which is kind of the reason why I'm calling you.
I was going to say, you're so busy that you decided to call us. You're, yeah. Let's be honest, colleagues.
I feel the same way about you too. There's an important reason why I'm calling you on my holiday, because this holiday is about to turn extremely football book club adjacent, much to the dismay of my fiance, who is on the trip.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Hmm? Are we coming to Rome?
No, sorry, sadly not. Okay, let's quickly move on from that bit. I'm afraid the show, the Patreon's not doing well enough for us all to go to Rome. I'm afraid. Sadly. But have any of you guys been to Rome before?
A while ago on a school trip.
Okay. And Tash?
Do you want context?
I have.
No.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Very lovely.
Very lovely, but very big as well. I didn't know loads mm-hmm. about Rome before coming.
That's what they say. Very lovely, very big.
That's what she said.
It is a romantic holiday after all. Anyway, so I
just you, me, the fiance, and Kevin Lasagna.
But Rome is so big in fact that I had no idea where to start, and I hadn't really done much research before. We kind of came quite last minute. Then I remembered, and I wonder if you guys remember this as well, that Francesco Totti has a travel guide to Rome. And I remember also he has several other books, including, genuinely, Francesco Totti has a joke book that he wrote, featuring Totti's own jokes, apparently. But most importantly, he has written not one, but two city guides to Rome. And I thought, what better than to get my hands on it for the first ever Football Book Club holiday?
I feel
have you
like
told
we
Anne
should
about this yet?
She actually suggested it. We were walking around, not sure where to go. And I mentioned the book and she said, give it a try. I don't think, though, she expected it to get quite this ugly quite so quickly.
Right, okay. She enabled you, really.
She enabled me.
I was going to say, if you were in the country right now, we would stage an intervention.
But yeah, so I thought, what better than to get my hands on this book by Totti so he can guide me around Rome. However, I couldn't find it anywhere. And I mean, literally nowhere. The book seems to have disappeared off the face of the planet. My first resort, naturally, was Amazon. I thought, I'm here a few days. It might take a couple of days to turn up. I can probably get it. No luck. Absolutely just not there on Amazon anymore. I tried to get some Italian friends back home to search it for me on Italian Amazon or other bookshops. Nothing. I went to an actual bookshop in Rome. This is all true. Asked them there. No luck. They told me it's out of print. And it has been for about a decade or so.
Oh, my God.
I asked a waiter at the restaurant we went to last night and a couple. And
you asked a couple?
I asked a couple.
You interrupted a romantic meal.
I did. I genuinely did. A Northern Irish couple were next to me, a couple from Belfast. And they were like, we're going to help you find this book. We're going to help you find this book. But they've had no luck either so far. And I basically had given up, which I think is what Anne hoped would happen. And, you know, it was probably the right thing to do at this time. Until
Anne's put up with a lot already.
She has. That's separate to separate to this holiday. In general, she has. I was ready to give up. I was totally ready to give up and just, you know, face Rome by myself. But in the end, I found one. I found one copy. And that copy was at the Biblioteca Nazionale Centrale di Roma, a.k.a.
Oh my God.
The National Library.
You didn't actually drag Anne to a library on your holiday, did you?
Well,
so we entered the library.
It was extremely heavily guarded.
So now I'm going to go in. I'm going to pray someone speaks English. Because we've travelled quite a way for this. And I'm going to take pictures of that book.
First of all, I just want to say as well, you know, some countries where you go to, a library might be a tourist destination, like Library of Alexandria. It's the first one. But it might be a tourist destination, or it might be a particularly pretty place. No, not the case with this building. This building is, first of all, genuinely enormous. It's so vast. And secondly, it's the most heavily guarded place I think I've ever been to. It's got there was like giant gates everywhere. You had to be let in by a security guard outside. I don't know what's in this book and what they're trying to keep away from the general public. What are they hiding in this? But I got through. I explained at the door, and eventually I found the book. Although it took a little while for me to get my hands on it.
Okay, so I'm currently in the library cafe. This amazing man help me get the book. Yeah, he kind of understood the podcast, didn't really care, but he was a Roma fan, found it quite funny. However, I had to sign up for a library card to get it, so I had to go through the process in Italian, figure that out, and now I've got my card, take a photo, and now I've got to wait 15 minutes to have a coffee while the book is delivered to me. It's so high tech here. The book will be delivered to me and I have to sit in here. I can't take it out of the building, it's too prized. So I've got to read and take pictures here, which is allowed. I chat with him. And then I can leave the library and I'll be a member of Rome National Library forever. And then when he left, he signed off. He said, have a good day. Forza Roma. So, yeah, I hope we're doing you proud. Tots.
Now, obviously, the book is in Italian and I cannot speak any Italian whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
However, I decided to try out some new tech to do this. So I used a little app called Google Lens, and I Google Lensed the whole book, 140 pages, 140 and something pages. I screenshotted every single bit, so I had it on my phone, even though I did read it there in the library as well. It took a little while, but, you know, they're not long pages, but it's like a travel guide, as you can imagine.
Has it got pictures?
Has got some pictures, has got a few pictures, but it actually is very text heavy for a travel guide, I will say, but I did that. I read through the whole thing through Google Lens, which, if anyone's familiar with Google Translate, doesn't mean that everything actually makes sense most of the time. So
no,
it's a very confusing way of reading the book. I might have missed a lot. Some bits just flat out didn't make sense. But I think I got the gist. I got the gist of the book, and it's generally good. It's quite funny. He does it in a very alternative kind of way. The front cover is him, like looking like a gladiator on the front with his head superimposed over
Classic.
That. Yeah. It's very good fun, and it's not your typical boring travel guide. It is good fun. And I've read it. I've read the whole thing now.
Oh my God.
And now it's time to begin my adventure in Rome. It's now time to see what I think a poorly translated Francesco Totti suggests I should see, and possibly destroy my relationship on what's meant to be a romantic long weekend away, of which I've already spent almost a day making my poor fiancé sit in the library. So, So wish me luck. I've got a lot of making up to do, but I feel like Francesco's going to pull it out of the bag and give us an unbelievable Rome that we're never going to forget. So see you soon, guys, or ciao. Ciao. Grazie. Oh, grazie.
Good. I mean,
grazie.
Good luck. A huge amount of luck is needed right now.
As I travel to my first stop, it's probably important to tell you how the book works. And it basically does so by Francesco breaking Rome into 10 must-visit places, most of which you've probably heard of or you can find in any tour guide. However, what separates this from a regular tour guide are Totti's mad jokes, madder opinions, and him desperately crowbarring in footballers anywhere he can to somehow make what he's saying relevant to football. And it doesn't really work. The book largely exists under the conceit that Francesco basically thinks everywhere else in the world is rubbish. When players from, say, Mönchengladbach come to play Roma, Totti says they're immediately struck by how beautiful the city is compared to the hellholes they came from, with names that nobody can pronounce. However, unlike these visitors, Totti gets to stay in Rome forever. So he's written this to help visiting players enjoy their trip to the Eternal City as much as they can before they go home crying to their hometowns, which Francesco says is pretty much only so he doesn't get kicked during their match out of jealousy. So, 10 must-visit places. I'm here for 5 days, and the tour starts here.
Okay, we are at the first spot Francesco Totti recommends in his guide to Rome. We are at the infamous Il Tempio di Apollo, Apollo's temple. Oh, and it's beautiful. It's giant, very, very tall, old, chalky, kind of like that chalky statue. Look, there's a guy playing the accordion. Francesco didn't mention him, but I guess that was an oversight. I'm guessing he's been here since the towers were built. But yeah, Totti loves this because Apollo is obviously very important to the history of Rome, but he particularly likes his son, whose name is Apelles. Apelles, apparently, because he considers him the father of football. I don't quite understand how. It might be a translation issue, which is possible, because basically none of the book makes sense when it goes through Google Lens. However, loosely, Apelles liked to kick things and then apparently created a ball. I googled this, I found no evidence on this whatsoever. I typed in Apollo balls, Apollo's son's balls, all kinds of things onto the internet. Nothing came up, sadly. He also says in here, he talks about Martin Stekelenburg for a bit, surprisingly. He says, Apelles was a very creative and imaginative boy. One day on a path he started kicking some round pebbles and enjoyed himself until he got home. Among other things, Martin Stekelenburg, the Dutch goalkeeper of Roma, reminded me that those round white pebbles were placed there by Hansel and Gretel, extremely confusing, who through the fault of Apelles kicked the pebbles. Still today they wander scattered in the distant forests of Bremen. Apparently. I have no idea what that means. But hey, who am I to judge Totti and, more importantly, Martin Stekelenburg's grasp of the classics? But here we are. It is beautiful. And, yeah, it's been the start I could only have dreamed of to this trip. It ticked off number one. The journey has started. Anna, are you excited to go see more of Totti's Rome?
Oh, great, yeah.
She can't wait. I like the accordion guy.
As I'd already spent half the gloriously sunny day taking pictures of a book in the library, by the time I'd seen Totti's first spot to visit, it was already getting pretty late. But the best way to get your bearings in a new city is just to walk around, which is something Totti wishes he could do, but can't. Partly because he's too famous, but also possibly because he'll slag off a German tourist's hometown and accidentally commit a hate crime. As he says himself on page one, I am quite a famous character, one of those who cannot go around the crowd with ease. If I strolled in Via del Corso on a Saturday afternoon, those who love me for my sporting feats would attack me for an autograph. but those who love him less, Lazio fans, would probably express their opinion in a different way. So Francesco hasn't been able to walk peacefully through Rome probably since his career began, all the way back in 1993. So after spot number one, I did it for him, and I was struck by the sights and the sounds. Every road I seemed to walk down had yet another historical artifact. Sure, it was crowded, with visitors from all over the world everywhere, but I really enjoyed soaking up the atmosphere, the architecture, and the incredible food and coffee on basically every corner. However, above all this, there was one thing that really stood out to me. Something else being sold by the local vendors.
Outside all the monuments, they also sell these squeezy... these things. I hope you heard that. It's like a thing they chuck, like a little jelly thing. They throw it, looks like a pig. They throw it on the table and it makes that noise. And if you buy it for your child, you're an idiot. So, there we go. Last word to that guy.
Do you want to hear a joke from the Francesco Totti joke book?
Yes.
I think so. Is this our Ken Zong?
It's the equivalent of Ken Zong this week. Yeah, you're getting Totti jokes instead.
Right, okay.
This one's two people, basically. They've all good jokes to be explained. Francesco, look, I found a very interesting book. Friend, what's it called? Francesco, how to solve 50% of your problems. Friend, and did you buy it? Francesco, yes, I bought two. That went down better than I thought it would.
I mean, let's really break that down. Why would there be a book called How to Solve 50% of Your Problems? Why would that be the book? Not like how to fix your life or like how to... like if you were like, I want to fix my life, but not all of my life.
I still need
like 50% of my problems to be there.
Baby steps. I think Francesco has a reputation, which after a bit more research, of being a bit dim. You know, in the same way that people made like mean jokes about Beckham in the 90s or Rooney and stuff like that.
Right.
And I think he's kind of owned it and written a joke book where he's used all the best jokes about him being stupid in there. But yeah,
all I'm saying is that I think Frankie... I'm calling him Frankie.
Please.
I think Frankie's within his rights there to say, you know what? This is a dumb book, so I'll buy two of them and that'll show him. Like, it's not as if you're like, Frankie, that'll only solve 50% of your problems. It's like, it's as likely to solve all your problems, really. You know what, Frankie? Good on you.
I thought the biggest killjoy would be Francesco Totti, but no, it's Jack. Turns out Jack.
Is Anne in the room right now? Is she head in hands, yeah, midway please. Through your romantic meal in Rome?
Please, can we go to the Trevi Fountain? Please.
Here's another one, Anne.
The next day, we woke up bright and early for an extra special visit we were going to do the day before, but we missed because, yep, you guessed it, I was filling in a library card application. However, it also turns out it's number 6 in Francesco's city guide. And I know we're not necessarily doing things in the order he suggested, but we had to plan our route, and it was hard enough to convince my girlfriend to do a tour of Francesco Totti's favourite sites. Anyway, so...
okay, I'm in Francesco Totti's number 6 must-see visit in Rome. And it was a cheeky one, because technically we're not in Rome anymore. We are in Vatican City, which of course is a country within Rome. It's spectacular. And the best thing about it, according to Totti, is that you go to another country, but you can still speak the same language. That seems to be the best thing about the amazing Vatican City for him. But hey, I guess that was pretty cool. All season one for me, as I'm English, and they still speak Italian here, so it doesn't help me much, Francesco. But yeah, he talks about that largely, and then he talks about the history of Rome a bit. How Simon became Peter, the founder of the church, the first pope. And the end ends up somehow talking about Pip Middleton. Don't quite know why, but I think that really grounds it in 2012 when the book was written. The fact that he goes, can you imagine? Luckily your name isn't Pippo, otherwise you would be like Pippa, like Middleton. So 2012. That one's for you, Tash. But let's go see what the Vatican is all about. Let's see why Totti loves it.
First up was the overwhelmingly impressive Vatican Museum, which is possibly the biggest museum I've ever been in. Extremely big, extremely heavily guarded, although not quite as much as the Bibliotheca, and filled with so much priceless art, objects and shiny things, even Jermaine Pennant would probably think it's a bit much. The gift shop was also huge, and I wanted to buy the rest of the book club a gift, but sadly, they only accepted PayPal. You know, like, PayPal.
It's the worst joke of the show!
Sorry, I spent too much time with Totti. Anyway, it was so big that by the time we got through to the magnificent Sistine Chapel, I just wanted to sit down for a bit and read my book. And in there, Totti finds several connections between the church and football. The 12 who were part of Jesus' team, 11 starters, plus one, Judas, the traitor. The mass that takes place every Sunday, where an audience sings and stands up at the key parts. It's also probably the worst translated segment of the book, with one bit reading, chest, thigh, but no wing, wing, when the chicken wants to fly, mum, what a struggle, mother, what a hard job, and Vendi stole cuckold, which is either badly translated or Totti had a stroke. Either way, as Totti suggested, the Vatican was an incredible experience. The museum, the grounds, walking through St. Peter's Basilica as the organ played and the choir began to sing was genuinely jaw-dropping, but one thing in particular caught my eye.
When I left the museum, there was actually a football book club kind of relevant thing, in that there was a big display of all these things that have been given to popes over the years from footballers. There was like a signed shirt from Pelé, signed shirt from Maradona. There was a picture of Javier Mascherano hanging out with the Pope. One notable omission, which we noticed, Dudek. Mr. Jerzy Dudek, you might remember in his book, he gave a signed shirt saying Pope number one to the Pope, John Paul II, I think it must have been. Not in there. Not in there. So, sorry, Jerzy. Might have gone in the bin, I think. Might have gone in the bin.
The soles of our feet battered, and with another busy day coming tomorrow, we decided to have an early night. But back in our room, disaster struck.
So how have your first 2 days been? What have you been up to?
Good. I've been seeing a lot of the things that are in the book, but we've come across our first problem, and it's a big one. It's a very big problem. One of Francesco's must-see things, to be expected, is the Colosseum, of course. And
oh, what a hidden gem he's got for us there.
I wasn't going to go,
and then Francesco Totti told me I should go check it out.
We should have thought this through, though, because it's totally sold out. We just cannot get any tickets at all to go see the Colosseum.
Have you
name drop Francesco?
Yeah.
I don't know if that'll work. Yeah. I don't think it will. Apparently, you need to book one of the most famous tourist destinations in the world more than a few hours ahead. Who knew? You've got to do it.
Bonkers.
But no, we're in big trouble. So I genuinely don't know how we're going to get around this. It's been a bad end to the second day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And
how's morale in Anne's camp?
This is the question I'm really interested in.
Like new depths. Plumbing new depths. It really is.
It's sort of amazing if this is your first problem, I would say.
but guys, it's a really serious problem. And if we don't see it,
there's
no way we're going to be able to tick off all the things Francesco recommended. So I'm worried.
Fuck.
We had hit our first obstacle. We didn't know what to do. So we met up with our new Belfast friends and got really drunk. But would we ever make it to the Colosseum? Would we see Rome in full, just as Francesco Totti intended? And more importantly, would my fiancé run off with an Italian man? Find out when the trip continues after the break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Football Book Club, and welcome back to Rome, where it's the morning of day 3. And with the Colosseum on hold, we went to find breakfast, where I came across an unexpected discovery.
You might be able to hear the faint sound of, like, choral song, because I'm opposite a church. I only hear the church bells. And opposite the church, there is the other person they worship, the street art of Totti, looking at the church. Oh, dang. He's pointing up to God, actually, in the picture. So, there's something probably pretty profound about that. You know, the Romans, one place of worship, and the other across the road. I haven't quite connected those thoughts yet, but hey, it's hot. I don't have much sleep.
But nevertheless, it brought me neatly on to number 3 in Totti's book, Il Derby. Yeah, the Derby. This is a little different to the rest of the book, because it's not really something you can visit. Instead, it gives the reader a little insight into the Lazio-Roma rivalry, which apparently began all the way back in 7 BC, when the King of Rome took on the King of Alba Longa in Lazio. Sadly, there was no derby match on that weekend, and whilst Roma were playing after watching 2 years of Mourinho football at Spurs, I simply couldn't put my girlfriend through that, especially on holiday. So I thought instead it was a good time to talk to some actual Romans and find out why Totti is so important to their city. The first person I asked in the unofficial Roma store didn't want to be interviewed, but he did call Lazio shit and spit on the floor, so I decided to ask my friend Salvatore for help, who put me in touch with his Roma mad pal, Matteo. Salvatore, Matteo, thank you. Thank you for joining me. I've got so many questions.
Hi, James. It's our pleasure.
Hi, James.
Did you know that this book even existed?
No, actually, I didn't know it. I knew that he wrote a biography, but... Yeah.
He's a multi-talented man. He wrote, yes. he wrote a tour guide. He wrote a joke book, yeah. Apparently.
Yes, the joke book is actually very well known here in Italy.
Interesting. Yes. Well, first of all, do you think that Totti is the right person to write a tour guide to Rome, Matteo?
Well, actually, ooh, he is the boy from Rome. Mm-hmm. He was born in Rome. He grew up in Rome. He lived in Rome ever since he was a little boy. He knows Rome perfectly. I don't think he is very skilled at writing, maybe. I don't know. Yet I think that he is really reliable in order to know noticeable places around Rome. Actually.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I can't really judge his writing because I had to read it through Google Translate. So and nothing sounds good through Google Translate. So,
I think someone texted for him the book.
Probably. Yes, probably.
I can't imagine Francesco Totti sitting down and writing this book. But that's really interesting to know because it does come across that, you know, he loves the city and that. But why is he so important to the people of Rome?
Because he is a legend in Rome. He is like the ninth emperor. He is like a god because he was the boy who grew up during the 90s and 80s in the Academy of Rome football club, and he decided not to go to places like Real Madrid, Juventus. I don't know how many people know this, but like when he was 13, some managers from AC Milan went to Totti's house and had a chat with his mother, asking her to have Totti in AC Milan Academy. But she actually shouted to go away because he only belongs to Rome. So it's yes, it's something he's got in his DNA. It's, you can take Totti out from Rome and you can take Rome out of Totti. It's a symbiotic bond. It's something deeply rooted in his mind, in his heart.
Wow.
I don't think that there are so many people, so many players right now that are so in love with their club. I remember it was at Olimpico back then in 2017 when he retired, and it was very touching.
Right.
Everyone was crying.
Yeah. So he means everything to you people. Yes. You seem to, you love him and you trust him. Would you trust him like I did to plan your holiday for you?
Well, maybe in Rome I will trust him because he knows everything about Rome. He knows every place, like every spot where you could go and eat well. And so I would actually trust him about Rome, but I'm not so sure that I will trust him about anything else.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't like that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't let him plan a trip to London for you.
No, of course not.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Maybe I would ask Harry Kane or...
I think that'd be a similarly bad book, I'll be honest, if Harry Kane wrote that. Just on Rome itself. So Totti in the book a lot, he says that nowhere else in the world compares to Rome and that it's the best place in the world. Do you agree with him, Matteo, that Rome...
I'm from Rome, so actually I'm a bit like I can judge properly, but yes, actually it is. Okay. Because you're walking and like you turn yourself around and you find Colosseum, then Circo Massimo. It's like you're walking through the history of the Latin culture. Because like it's wonderful. Everywhere you go, you find art. And it's something that you can find like anywhere in the world.
So Rome is the best. And finally, my last question. Have you or do you know anyone who has actually ever bought one of those squeezy tourist things that they chuck on the ground?
Actually, no, because I think that it's something that is sold only to tourists because like we Romans don't ever go to these kind of sellers through the streets. Actually, yeah. I've never seen them selling one. So
I have never seen anyone sell one either. Someone must have bought one. Someone has to have bought them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I feel bad now. And next time I go, I'm going to go buy one just because I feel bad for the guys selling them. That's my next
probably
present.
I'll do this too, and I'll let you know whether it's funny or it's whether it's just good.
Okay. So overall, Rome good, Totti good, everything's good apart from those squeezy balls, basically.
Yeah, everything is not good. It's perfect.
Wow. There
down
we go.
To the last. Yes. Everything is perfect.
There we have it. Well, I'm going to get back to my trip. Ciao, guys.
Ciao.
Ciao. Ciao, ragazzi. Dai Roma. Ascoltate Football Book Club.
Oh, wow. I'm guessing that means you like football club.
Yeah.
Not you didn't say a bad thing. Okay.
No.
Because I'm trusting you guys.
It's like for a football club.
Perfect. I didn't have the heart to tell him that's not what the podcast is called. But either way, after finding out more about the great man, I was reinvigorated in my mission. And with no time to waste, it was time to tick more things off our list at pace. Starting at Totti recommendation number 8.
So, we're in the Pantheon. You can hear this big echoey building. There's a giant hole in the ceiling. Intentional, not been left to fall to pieces. There's loads of people in here, really, really busy. All these amazing statues. Victor Emmanuel, the first king of Italy, is buried here. Raphael, the famous artist, is here, but more famously, of course, one of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Now, as we're at the Pantheon, it's a good time to mention another feature which happens a lot in Totti's book. Francesco doesn't just talk about the famous historical figures. These characters also pop up and have conversations with him. So, for example, when talking about the Pantheon, naturally, gods such as Zeus appear before Francesco and he has a conversation with them, which, you know, obviously is impossible, but...
It's a helpful narrative technique I like to use.
Wait, James, what are you doing here?
It's not James. It is I, Francesco Totti.
Okay, if you're really Francesco Totti, prove it.
Okay, no problem. I, Francesco Totti, tried to finish a jigsaw puzzle. It takes me almost 4 months. Then I turn over the box where it reads, from 2 to 3 years. I say, ah, so now I'm a genius. That's from my joke book.
Yeah. Wow, it really is you. It's incredible to be here in Rome with the actual Francesco Totti.
Uh-huh, and it's not just me who's here to talk to you.
It's not?
No, look, here's Alan Smith. Yeah, it's great to be here, this historical place. Good to see the youngest tourists taking in the sights. Oh, and Alan Hansen.
It's absolutely brilliant. Russell Crowe, Colosseum, brilliant.
Turns out it was 30 degrees and I was hallucinating. So, on to our next stop, recommendation number 7.
The Roman Forum, a collection of temples and monuments built by great Romans like Julius Caesar, largely to themselves. Totti might use this landmark to bemoan the fact that a lot of his teammates and a lot of Brazilian footballers seem to use ancient Romans names for their own. Julio Cesar, he uses as an example, Adriano, people like that. However, I think it's pretty neat by itself.
We were ticking off Totti's must-sees at pace, so much so we even had time to go to a coffee shop he recommended.
So right now at San Istuccio Il Caffè, I've ordered a fancy espresso. Here, the speciality of the house. It's also the only coffee shop I've been to which has got a tour guide outside. There was a guided French tour saying how great the coffee is here. Let's put some of that in and mix it in. Oh, yeah. You can hear that. Let's try it out. Oh, stupendous. The tour guide is gone. That's good. Cheer my coffee in peace.
Heck, we were making such good time, we even went to places not in the book.
The Trevi Fountain. Incredibly, not on Francesco's list. No. Niccolo Salvi's masterpiece. Not good enough, Mr. Totti. But yeah, I think it's pretty good. The water, the marble, the statues. Oh, beautiful. And apparently €3,000 are chucked in every day? Every day by people looking for luck. So, if you excuse me, I'm about to go swimming.
The rest of the trip financed, we were now in a great position to complete Francesco's Rome, when I received a message from Ellie, one of our new Irish friends. She had left the day before, and I wanted to see if Francesco was right, that it really is so depressing to leave Rome. And what she said next struck fear into my very soul.
Well, James, I'm now answering you from a piazza in Bari in southeast Italy. So Totti's question is going to be hard to answer because I don't know if I want to say angry to leave Rome. I don't think angry is the right word. I was definitely sad, definitely disappointed, would have liked more time. And if I was going straight back to Belfast from Rome, then devastated. But we've now ended up in Bari and it's pretty sweet. I've got a cocktail in front of me, St. Nicholas, aka Santa Claus, apparently either his body without an arm or just an arm is laid to rest here. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening in Bari. Maybe, no, not angry. Not angry to be leaving, sad to be leaving, disappointed to be leaving. Definitely will be coming back to Rome.
I was worried. I wasn't going on to Bari, or to see dismembered Santa Claus. I'd be going straight home to Come Down City. But with 2 days of my trip still to go, I decided to put it to the back of my mind and get on with our tour. However, it turns out after 3 days of non-stop action, there is such a thing as too much Totti. Especially for my girlfriend, who was almost certain to break up with me if I said the words, "Oh, Francesco recommended this," or "This will make great content again." So, to save our romantic weekend away, we decided to take the next day off and do something she wanted, which was incredibly selfish of her. Something light, something fun.
Okay, so we're on a bike, rented these out, and as Sunday is traditionally the day of death, going around some catacombs, which should be fun. We're also going the wrong way and I'm about to fall off a bike. God, there's a car coming. Trying to cycle and not die.
So, a nice day relaxing with the bones in the catacombs it was. Lady's choice. But what I didn't tell her was that the catacombs we were going to actually are mentioned in Francesco's book, in this brief paragraph in the introduction.
When they come to Rome, these foreign players, they bite. Pay attention to Roma's next match against the European team. If they don't hit hard, it's because of the beauty of our monuments. A trip to the Altare della Patria, the Domus Aurea, and of course, the Catacombs of San Calisto.
Yeah, thanks, Francesco. So, giggling sneakily to myself, I cycled to San Calisto with my girlfriend in the blazing hot sun. So sunburned, I briefly thought that being buried deep underground in a catacomb actually sounds pretty nice. However, on the way back, call it karma for my sneakiness, call it whatever you want, but disaster struck again.
Yeah, just back to the flat. Cycling along, and people love to cross the road here. I love to cross the road. A guy walked in front, had to brake suddenly on my rented bike. I bruised my knee. Tiny bit. My inner thigh. Tiny bit. We pushed it too hard. Doing all this in a few days. We need the night off. It's just too much.
We had reached our last day in Rome, and we still had 5 of Totti's recommendations to see. But we were tired, burnt, bruised, the relationship was hanging by a thread, and I had typed Apollo Sun's balls into Google so many times, I was surely on some kind of watch list. Morale was at an all-time low. I had to do this for Totti, but things just kept going from bad to worse.
Okay, we want to go to Ponte Milvio, which is Totti's 5th must-see thing. However, it's bloody miles away. It's so far away. We're not going to get there. It's bad. I can't drag Anne to another one of these things. If I do, I'm at the end of it. So, instead, in my mind, bridge is a bridge. That's what I've always said. And we've come to a place called Ponte Garibaldi, which is really pretty, I think. It's a bridge in Rome. I know we let you down, Francesco, but I hope that's enough for you. But I fear it's not.
Number 5 in our list was a no-go. And to make matters worse, it turns out that the Colossus of Nero, number 10 in Totti's guide, collapsed 1,300 years ago. We had just missed it. With these failures and the Colosseum still looking unlikely, we headed to number 9 on the list, crestfallen.
Okay, we're now standing in the queue for Francesco's 9th most marvellous thing to see in Rome, the Mouth of Truth. The Mouth of Truth, and basically, the Mouth of Truth, what it is, it's in a little church, and you pay a certain amount of money to possibly have a statue bite your hand off. So that's, I guess it's fun. Yeah, it's like a big round disc with a mouth, like one of those things you see in Doctor Who, those like stretched out skin things. And you're meant to put your hand in. If you tell the truth, your hand comes out. If not, whoop, straight down, no more hand. Francesco says, though, that even though it does bite off hands, it hasn't done it that much lately, because he thinks it's because everyone's a tourist and their mouth doesn't understand Japanese and Chinese, is what he says in there. And as an English person, I'm hoping that's the case, just in case I go in there and say something crazy like, Jermaine Pennant's a great author. I don't want to risk it, I'll be honest. I want to be respectful to the god. Wish me luck. I hope I still got a hand to record my messages afterwards.
But I wasn't going to waste my time asking the Mouth the truth if Jermaine Pennant was a good author. I had something far more important on my mind. I needed to know what I was doing wrong. I mean, Francesco said you should be able to do all of the things in his book in a day or two. And yet 5 days later, I still wasn't close. I needed to know the answer once and for all. So I stuck my hand in the Mouth of Truth, and I asked it, "Have I done you proud, Francesco? Have I done you proud?"
And what happened? Do you still have a hand?
We did it. We did it. We did it. We got out. We put our hand in the mouth. And it didn't get bitten off. I didn't get my hand cruelly and violently bitten off by a Roman statue. What a thrill. What a thrill.
I hadn't let Francesco down. At least not enough to dismember me like a Santa Claus. And I was thrilled. Suddenly, I had a new lease of life to attack the plan when something remarkable happened.
So, incredible. We were going to go to the Colosseum and basically, we were kind of ready to go for this gauntlet and pay loads of money and possibly not get it and have to queue up for ages. But then, I went online. Something, I don't know what took over me. I was just walking. I was like, okay, I'll go online really quickly. I pressed the button, went on the official website, and then two tickets just popped up. They hadn't shown all holiday, but two tickets popped up. We bought them there and then. And yeah, it shows that someone's watching over us. I think that man is Francesco Totti. He wants this to happen. He wants this to happen. So we're going to see the Colosseum. It's all thanks to you, Francesco, for making these tickets pop up. You excited, Anna?
I cannot wait.
Yeah, she loves it. She can't wait.
And so it was finally time to visit the most iconic building in Rome. The place I've been most excited to see from the very beginning. Number 4. The Colosseum.
We are now in the most exciting part of the trip. The Colosseum. We did it. We did it. Made it into it. I'm so excited. You know, this is Rome. And Totti says as much, of course. I mean, actually, the segment on this starts a bit strangely. It starts off with him arguing with Traianus Delas. You might remember the Greek centre-back who won the Euros, played at Roma with him, and he's saying how Delas loves to remind him what Roma was actually Greek, and this really annoys Totti. And then apparently Totti trumps him by saying, oh yeah, but the word Greek is Roman, which apparently is the case, so he wins that. But anyway, amphitheatre, which Colosseum comes from, is of course Greek, and that's what brings Totti onto this. The magnificent Colosseum. It is huge. It is imposing. Great views all around, I bet, from here. It's probably as good as the Spurs Stadium, I'd say. It's kind of for that. Hasn't quite got that one large wall, as I tell. It's more round, but all pretty impressive. It is raining. First time it's rained this trip, and it probably has rained. So you're looking on the bat for the moment. It must have been bad enough being a gladiator as it is. You know, again, slashed to bits, raining on top. Imagine that, bleeding and getting rain in your hair. It's just grim. Or even worse, having Traianus Delas telling you what words and which words you can't use. Good. Thanks a lot, Traianus.
However, despite the rain, the Colosseum was everything we hoped it would be. It was incredible to learn the scale of everything. 60,000 people, so it was about the size of the Spurs Stadium. However, tickets were free, so that was considerably better than Spurs. And sure, they didn't have Beyonce playing there, but the 60,000 people would cheer on the greatest gladiators the world has ever seen, watch weeks of games to commemorate the dead by creating more dead people. They'd even flood the arena to showcase huge ship battles. I couldn't believe what my 10-euro audio guide was telling me.
I've learned so much. I've got to tell you this thing. Obviously, they had all these kind of wild animals pop up out of nowhere. Giraffes. Lions, tigers. They filled a fake whale with 50 bears. 50 bears that just came crawling out. Just the pageantry of it all. I mean, imagine just being a little Roman peasant sitting up here and a giraffe just pops up. Oh my good God, what is that? What on earth is that? And they just hunt it down and kill it. You'd be going like, no, don't kill it. Let's find out more about this thing. Never seen one of these in my life. Never gonna see one of these again. Let's investigate, then kill it. But don't. Just 50 bears.
50 bears.
50 bears.
50 bears.
50 bears.
Guys, it was everything I dreamed of. The Colosseum was incredible. And the whole trip, everything's been brilliant. Everything Francesco has recommended has been brilliant. The whole city. It's been fantastic. And yeah, it was disappointing that we had to miss some things on the journey. But I realised that going somewhere isn't, you know, it's not just ticking things off. It's finding the things that, you know, make it special for you. Making your own experiences with it. And, you know, I didn't do some of the things Francesco said to do, but I did get a library card. I did befriend a couple from Belfast. So many things like this. I didn't see everything. No, sure. But, you know, that's not what a trip is. That's his Rome. And, you know, we had our own Rome. We had a wonderful time. And now it's my last evening. So I can't, you know, keep chatting to you guys on the phone like I have done every other day of my holiday. So,
fuck. Oh, I'm so sorry that we've kept you. Yeah, well, I'm so sorry that we are the ones who obviously call you up during a holiday and say, James, please tell us more about what Francesco Totti's been up to. I have two kids.
Well, yeah, say hello to them. Or buongiorno. And I'm going to go off and enjoy my final evening. And I've got one last thing that I need to do.
Okay, so we've reached the top of Aventino Hill, one of the seven hills that Rome is built on, and more importantly, Totti's second tip for things to do. And looking over it on our last day, on our pretty much last thing we're doing in total, I can see why he likes the city. I can see it a lot. And I've loved it the last few days. Loved all the suggestions he's made. And looking over it now, it's a great city. Totti's right. I can see why I want to spend his whole career here. And I can see why he likes those creamy coffee things. I can see why he likes the lifestyle, the heat, the people, the passion, the architecture, the buildings, the, you know, extensive bibliography that he's managed to build tenuously around being from Rome. It's great. I'm starting to think of what Totti said, that when you go back to your own country, it's not Rome, and you miss it. And I'm worried about that. You know, after Ellie and Stephen messaged me, what they said, about how sad they were to leave, I don't know if I want to go back. Maybe home won't be the same anymore.
But then, looking across the city, I realised. Totti's Rome isn't great because of the sights. It's great because of what they mean to him. Francesco even says it himself. When he's talking to a gladiator in the Colosseum, he tells him, "You may never be a footballer, but that's okay. It's better that everyone does what they do best in the world and the historical period that belongs to them." In the same way, Rome might be Francesco's city, but it will never be mine. And that's okay. Because like Francesco, I'm lucky enough to already have that feeling of home somewhere. Home is familiarity. Home is comfort. Home is back in my lounge with a cup of tea reading yet another footballer's autobiography. Besides, thanks to these, I don't even need to travel. Because within a few turns of a page, I can be in Stoke. I can be playing in the World Cup. I can be on loan at Kidderminster. I am striker, midfielder, goalkeeper. I am Jermaine Pennant. And as much as I've loved Rome, it's time for me to return to my real home with them. So until next time, until another footballer decides to write another balmy city guide, Forza Rome, Forza Totti, Forza Football Book Club. Oh, I bought you all a present back, by the way.
Oh!
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome, guys. You're welcome. Can't wait to see you. They're all the rage. They're all the rage in Rome. Everyone has them. Everyone's buying them.
The dog likes it.
That's good. That's good. Sick and have it. Sick. I wouldn't chew it. It's probably very toxic. But guys, thank you for giving me moral support on my holiday. I can't wait to come back and see you.
Ciao, Bella.
Ciao, Bellas. Ciao, Bellas.
You have made me and Rome very proud, James.
What was that, James?
I didn't say anything.
Thanks for listening to Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt, Natasha Frisco, and James Balgin as Francesco Totti. Or was he? Who knows? It was created and produced by James Bug. Thanks to Ellie and Stephen, Salvatore and Matteo, and Tom Crowley for their help. Thanks to Anne for letting us spend our holiday looking at Francesco Totti's 10 favourite landmarks. The theme music, Hills Behind, is the work of Silent Partner and is used in the Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back to autobiographies in a fortnight with the series finale, where we'll be reading Dwight York's Born to Score. You don't want to miss it.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.